Today with Joseph Prince.
The Lord's Prayer, wonderful as it is in its setting, in its time, Jesus himself said at the upper room, up till now you have asked nothing in my name. So obviously the Lord's Prayer is not asking in his name. So all the prayers of the Old Testament is not praying in Jesus' name. There's a new kind of prayer that's coming. They says, up till now you have asked nothing in my name. What is asking in someone's name? What is doing business in someone's name? That means you are his representative, right? In other words, when you pray, you must know that you have the same standing as Jesus before the Father. Not only that, you are loved the same as Jesus is loved. What is walking uprightly according to the gospel? This is important. You know, there's a promise in the Old Testament that says, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly, right? So what is walking uprightly today? Walking according to the truth of the gospel. Believing that you are loved. Believing that all your sins are forgiven. Believing that when you pray, you are so near to God. And that when you pray, it's as if Jesus is praying. That's praying in Jesus' name. That's walking uprightly.
Church, the best church in the world, in the whole universe.
Amen. Miss you all. Well, as you heard just now, we just came back from Israel, Hope and Grace Israel tour, and all those of you who took time to go and served. You know, our people, I'm so proud of our people. Our people went there to serve. Many of them, the youth leaders, the young people that went there, my daughter as well, she was there to serve. They came early, probably about 3 hours before the entire event, and when the sun is still shining at its fiercest, all right, they were there making sure everything is okay to usher in the people, show them to their seat, help the ones that are having problems walking, showing them where the toilet is and all that. For that, I want to say thank you. And even in Singapore, all over the world, you know, our people are people of excellence, people of amazing heart of service and generous people. People know you as generous. And one of the things that I believe that the gospel of grace does to you is that it makes you generous. It opens up your heart. And that's what I see in all of you people. And for that, I thank you. I salute you. Especially for making the gospel preaching so much easier by your testimony. Amen? We're not perfect people. We're the first to tell you if you're a guest here, you say, no, the church is full of hypocrites. All right, let me just tell you this. One more won't make a difference. Come. Praise God. Okay? Actually, the whole world is full of hypocrites. Okay? And I want to touch on that as well today because I think that there's something about this hypocrisy that evokes the greatest response from Jesus. I asked the Lord one time. I said, Lord, why do you hate hypocrisy so much? And you know what he said to me? Because I love them. I love the people. Because he loved the Pharisees. And yet, I couldn't fully understand. He says that you'll never know that you are loved until you know that I know all about you and I still love you. Because when you are playing the part of a hypocrite, all right? Now, I look up the dictionary definition of hypocrisy. I know what it means, but just to see what the dictionary says. It says play acting. Pretending to be what you are not. Okay, play acting. You are not that character, but you are play acting that character. In other words, you are pretending to be what you are not. Are you listening? Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus gently exposed her in her sins. Why? Well, because he wanted her to feel loved. Every time you pretend to be something you are not, you cannot feel loved. So what Jesus did at the well was this. He told the woman, go call your husband here. Then she said, I have no husband. Now it's coming to her sin, right? But this is how beautifully he did it. How courteously, how excellent in the way he did it. How loving and kind. He praised her first. He did a divine sandwich. He praised her first. He says, you have said it beautifully. In the Greek, kalos, beautiful. You have said it beautifully. You have no husband. You have had five husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. Then he put the other divine sandwich. In that, you have spoken truthfully. Now, who talks like that? We'll say, you've got five husbands, man, don't lie. You know, right? He praised her. He says, you have spoken beautifully. You have spoken literally, kalos, beautifully. You have had no husband. You had five husbands and the one you're living with is not your husband. He found a way to praise her and he was courteous to her. Now she knows that he knows about her and still loved her. The Bible says Jesus went through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. She was a Samaritan woman. Most Jews will not travel the same way Jesus traveled. They will bypass Samaria. But the Bible says it very beautifully. He needed to go through Samaria. It was not a topographical need. It was a grace need. Amen. He had an appointment with that woman. He wanted to love her, to save her. And Jesus was sitting at the well. And now the woman knew that of all the women in Samaria, Jesus knew all about her. And he's still talking to her, revealing himself as the Messiah, revealing him and talking to her. Now she knows that he knows about her and he loves her. Does she feel loved? Now she knows that he knows, that she knows he knows. Do you think she feels loved? Of course. When you know everything about, you know, we tell couples all the time when they come and they're in a honeymoon stage, oh, Pastor Prince, he's such a lovey-dovey, oh, he's such a sweetie pie. Go fight, go quarrel, argue as much as you want first, then come back and see us. Right? No, we want to get married. No, fight first. No, in essence, we don't say that. But of course, we know that they are in that stage. It's not ready for marriage yet. Amen? Now, after a few months, whatever, they come back and they say that, oh, man, I can't stand him, man. You know? But I still love him. Now, let's analyze that can't stand part. Okay? And you find out you still love each other. After you see the bad in each other, then you know that this is a good criteria for marriage. The reason why Jesus was strong against hypocrisy is that the Pharisees, as long as they put up that facade, that veneer, they cannot feel love. They cannot feel the love of God. It's like you're hiding away from the sun. You want to get a suntan, but you are hiding away from the sun. No, you gotta remove every veil, every hindrance, every blockage to the sun. So Jesus, in his rebuke, will remove all that so that they will know that he knows them as they are. And still loves them. Amen. So, when it comes to understanding law and grace, the Bible says in Romans 11, and if it's by grace, it's no more of the law of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it's of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Very simple. In other words, undeserved, unmerited favor. You cannot work for it. It's by grace. So the opposite of grace is works. And yet grace produces the best kind of works, not dead works, but living works, life works. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you something that is causing confusion in the church. And because of that, people start writing against extreme grace. You know, Pastor Prince is preaching extreme grace and things like, because they don't understand this divine paradox. Let me explain. In Proverbs 17, verse 15, it says this, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. You know what's an abomination? There is sin. We are all born in sin. Even before we do anything, we are born in sin because of Adam's sin. It's in the blood. Okay? Then there's also transgression. When you break a known law, that's transgression or trespass. Then there's iniquity that's passed down from father to child. Iniquity, a perversion in the nature. There's abomination. Abomination is the worst kind. Abomination is like, it's abominable. It's not snowman, okay? It's abomination. It's terrible, the worst kind, okay? Now, what, according to this verse, what's the worst kind that's an abomination to the Lord? Both. This. If you justify the wicked, let's say a person is a wicked person, a sinner, but you justify him, you talk about him as if he's a justified man, a righteous man, that's an abomination. On the other hand, he who condemns the just, let's say a just person, a righteous person, you condemn him, that's an abomination to the Lord. Are you listening, people? Now, we always think in terms of other people, right? But what about yourself? If you are a sinner and you justify yourself like the Pharisees, right? I don't need any saving, you know? I'm pretty okay, I'm moral. I keep the law, I don't do bad things and all that. You are justifying the wicked, you are justifying the sinner. God says you're a sinner. On the other hand, now that you are saved, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. Amen. And the Bible says, what are you now? 2 Corinthians 5:21, real quick. You all know this verse by now. God made Jesus at the cross, who knew no sin, to become our sin, right? That we might be made, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. So what are we now? The righteousness of God in Him. But if you condemn the righteous, even self-condemnation, you condemn yourself. When God has made you righteous, you condemn yourself. You say, I'm a lousy sinner. I'm this, I'm that. You condemn yourself. It's also an abomination to the Lord. Have you ever considered that? What God has cleansed, don't you dare call unclean, including yourself. You see, today the way we pray is different from the Old Testament. Today we don't say, oh God. Today we say, Father. Today we have a spirit of sonship. Under the Old Testament, they have a spirit of bondage. We have a different spirit. Amen. We say, Father. You know what it means to pray in Jesus' name? Jesus says, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. Wait a minute. What does Jesus mean in the upper room when Jesus says, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name? Maybe the disciples were praying the Lord's Prayer every day since then. But yet, the Lord's Prayer, wonderful as it is in its setting, in its time, Jesus Himself said at the upper room, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. So obviously, the Lord's Prayer is not asking in His name. Up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. So all the prayers of the Old Testament is not praying in Jesus' name. There's a new kind of prayer that's coming. They say, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. What is asking in someone's name? What is doing business in someone's name? That means you are His representative, right? In other words, when you pray, you must know that you have the same standing as Jesus before the Father. Not only that, you are loved the same as Jesus is loved. The Bible doesn't say any lesser. You are loved the same way Jesus is loved. John 17, that thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me, Jesus said. Not only that, you must know you are accepted before the Father with the same acceptance Jesus is accepted. Now you are in His name. That's how you pray. Pray in Jesus' name is not just punctuating your prayer with in Jesus' name. It is knowing that you are in this place today. Knowing God is your Father. It's a family place. Now the children's bread, you are entitled to it. You can eat the children's bread. So the challenge we have, when people start, you know, not understanding this, they're saying, Pastor Prince, you're saying that people have no more sin. No, I didn't say that. We're not perfect. There's still a stage of growth. We need to grow. Yeah, we need to grow. We need to learn the things of God. We need to know how to conduct our marriages. You know, we need to walk the way God wants us to walk. Yes, there's a growth. But the moment you are saved, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is a given. It's never taken away. And for you to speak disparagingly of yourself, even saying, I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner, it's wrong, it's an abomination. Any more than when you were a sinner, you say, I'm okay, I'm all right. It's an abomination, it's not. You need the Lord. Are you with me so far? Do you know there was one time, Paul, you know when, who got saved first? Peter got saved first or Paul got saved first? Huh? Remember, y'all don't talk to me. Peter got saved first or Paul got saved first? Who got saved first? Peter, right? All right, for the British friends. Peter. Peter. Okay, Peter got saved first. Paul got saved later. In fact, after Jesus died and rose again, Paul got saved. He was knocked off his high horse, literally, on his way to Damascus, right? And the Lord appeared to him from heaven. So Peter was familiar with the earthly Jesus, but Paul, his first encounter with Christ is the glorified, ascended Christ. Okay? So watch this now. What constitutes walking, not walking according to the gospel? I want to show you something that seems so mundane, but it's put there in the gospels for all of us to see, or rather in the letters of Paul. It's an occasion where Paul, who was saved after Peter, rebuked Peter. Paul rebuked Peter. Wow! On what occasion? Did Peter commit some major sin? Was he watching porn? Was he slapping someone? What did he do? What, did he slap his mother-in-law because she got healed? Oh, what was the problem here? It was over food. Let me read to you the story. All right, Galatians. And then we're going to see the truth here. But when Peter came to Antioch, now Paul is writing, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, Peter ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James is a Jewish leader in Jerusalem, all right, and he's a brother of Jesus, natural brother, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's what? Hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Is it clear? But you know what's the occasion over? Food. Food. Char siu pao. It must be that Peter was eating with the Gentiles, and then he heard someone say, hey, James is coming with his group from Jerusalem. Put on his, you know, and he cut away from the Gentiles. Now that's hypocrisy. Are you listening, people? But what really touched me was this phrase in verse 14. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, even your eating, if you are acting like you're still under the law, okay? Oh, I don't eat pork. You don't eat pork because of hygienic reasons or whatever is okay. I don't eat pork because in the law, God says, you know, I think, friend, now you eat other things, it has no effect. Because you put yourself under law. You see, the thing is this. There's no compromise even over food. And in the King James, I like the King James. Instead of not following the truth of the gospel, it says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Walk not uprightly. This is more accurate because in the Greek, it is the word, walk not uprightly is the word orthopedos. Orthopedos. Orthopedic. Where we got an English word, orthopedic. Your legs, walking. So literally, they walk not uprightly. What is walking uprightly according to the gospel? This is important. You know, there's a promise in the Old Testament that says, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly. Right? So what is walking uprightly today? Walking according to the truth of the gospel. Believing that you are loved. Believing that all your sins are forgiven. Believing that when you pray, you are so near to God. And that when you pray, it's as if Jesus is praying. That's praying in Jesus' name. That's walking uprightly. This is very important that you get this. The Bible says that once Jesus' sacrifice worked at the cross, how many believe his sacrifice worked once and for all? The Bible says it worked by one sacrifice, Hebrews 10, 11. Every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The Old Testament, the priests are standing. Say standing. Stands, ministering daily. Say daily. And offering repeatedly. Say repeatedly. The same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Say one sacrifice for sins forever three times. Come on. One sacrifice. Even though you say it three times, okay, it's one sacrifice only. Don't forget, it's one sacrifice for sins for how long? Forever. So compared with ministering, offering repeatedly, Jesus only had to offer one sacrifice. And the effectiveness is forever. Instead of them standing daily, he sat down. His work is finished. So the result is what? Go back to verse 1. The Bible says, verse 1, the law having a shadow of good things, and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. Perfect in terms of conscience. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, if those sacrifices in the Old Testament work, if the blood of bulls and goats work one time, there's no need to offer them repeatedly. But because the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins, right? Now, did Jesus one sacrifice for sins forever? Purified us once and for all. It worked. How many say it worked? We should have what? No more sin consciousness. So you go to God and you're not afraid. You say, God, thank you, Father, for loving me. Father, in Jesus' name, this coming week, Lord, you can ask God for anything that you want. Amen. And trusting that you are as near to him as Jesus is. The moment you take your place like a sinner, pretending to be humble and that kind of thing, it's an abomination because you're pretending to be what you are not. Don't condemn the righteous. Don't condemn yourself. That's an abomination. Have you learned something today? Give God a praise and the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The reason why no evil befalls you, the reason why no plague comes near your family is because he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Get your copy of Activate Your Angels, Experiencing Divine Protection as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. In this two-sermon audio series, discover how you can live unafraid. See how God wants you to leave home every day confident that you are completely protected. Request your copy today, and you will also receive a free bonus 2020 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive this exclusively curated gift set that includes an essential Bible study kit, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health. Get ready to dive deeper into the Word with Joseph in this exciting revelation-packed study kit. This kit includes many valuable resources that will help you access, apply, and activate God's 24/7 protection. Start each day anchored in God's promises of protection for you and your loved ones. Don't miss this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-769-5433.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. an elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
There was a lot of us that were crying out to God saying, you've got to send us an answer because we know that this is not the true gospel, but we just don't know where we don't get where we're missing it. And so I think it took all of those prayers to bring a man from Singapore into America. And so everything that Pastor Prince is preaching about Jesus Christ is applicable to every situation. When I wake up in the morning, I expect good and not evil. I'm not waiting for the second shoe to drop. It's not dropping. Through his teaching, you'll just learn to trust God at all times. Even when you stumble and you fall, you know that you and God are still close, that there's no space in between you all at all. If you want to be set free, if you want to know that God is for you, if you want to understand all of the different dimensions of Christ and why it's applicable to you today, then you want to listen to Joseph Prince's ministry.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.